So if you're looking at the bulletin cover and the message title this morning, Fall Forward, that's not a reference to the scripture we just read. If your house is going to fall, have it fall forward at least. It's really, the title is just a cheesy play on words about daylight saving time. You know that we spring ahead or forward and we fall back. And that catchy phrase is just to help those of us who get a little confused at that those times of the year. I know the clock's supposed to move an hour. Which direction is it? Spring helps us remember because it's going towards what we want, forward. Warmer weather, more activity, being outside. And fall, at least in seasonal Minnesota, has to do with shorter days, gets dark earlier, falling temperatures, falling leaves. The beauty of nature put on hold for a while, unless you're one of those winter sports fanatics. And of course, for students, back to school, back to routine. And church life returns to its normal pace as well. Lots of things that were on hiatus for the summer months, we're taking up again. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know this scripture well, says, "There's a time for every purpose under heaven." And we don't criticize those who take time to take their vacation and go to the cabin in Minnesota. We understand that need. I'm going to alter just a little bit Solomon's declaration that there's a time for everything. Because in my view, at least here at Hope Church, there's never a time for these two things. Never, ever do I want to hear someone say, "You know, there doesn't seem to be at my church any program or class that meets my needs. Besides Sunday morning, it seems like that's all our church offers." You might have a bad week if you say that while I'm standing nearby, because I think we do well. I also don't want to hear anyone say, there's never a time for you to say, "You know, I need some work to do. I want to feel useful at my church, and I just can't find anything. What an amazing place. It seems like it's all covered. Nobody needs my help." Also, don't be saying that. Nope. There's a time for every good thing, but for those things, let's rein in our tongue about that. So you've heard this morning about our slate of offerings this fall. And I hope you understand these don't represent our love for programs or tradition. We've done these things. We're going to continue to do them. They demonstrate the purpose statement that we have adopted, which is following Jesus together. Jesus at the center, not us. The Alliance isn't at the center, our denomination. Hope Church isn't at the center. We're just a local church like every other church. Jesus at the center. He needs to be followed, not just acknowledged or occasionally mentioned, but understood and followed. And we understand that that happens best when we do it together. This is the clear goal that never is going to diminish in importance or pass away, to become more like Him. The Word, where He tells us how to live as disciples. We need that. But we need not just to know it, as Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the words we read. We need to put it into practice in order to stand firm in the storms that are here and are increasingly coming. We need to know this word and put it into practice, and to do that together. You might say, as we talk about these opportunities for ministry, I've never participated in those before, Pastor. The truth is, everything you do in your life, you once did for the first time, am I right? So if you know how to ski, you weren't born knowing how to ski. If you do air traffic control, you didn't know how to do that when you're in junior high, did you, Paul? No. Those of you who write computer programming and software, you didn't do that when in the second grade. So why not in 2016 take the risky decision to get involved with other people in studying God's Word? Now, the things we talked about this morning are mostly teaching opportunities where someone is teaching the Word of God, and we're studying together. There's a lot of other opportunities here at Hope. Already began this week, dinners of eight, a name that dispenses explanation of what we're doing. Eight people are having dinner together. And doing it not to eat, which you would do anyway, but to fellowship and get to know one another. Those groups are already closed for this three-month period, but we'll start again at the beginning of next year, and you'll see sign-up sheets for that. And if you're missing out on that, I just think you'd love to be involved. Women of Hope, you hear a lot about that here at our church. Has monthly events through most of the year. Michelle Taves leads that and has a wonderful leadership team. They do outreach and service projects and events like retreats and other things. There's a retreat next month at Big Sandy that our ladies will be participating in. Our men are getting reorganized. We had yesterday a meeting. We're meeting once a month on Saturday mornings, focused not on just fellowship, but serving projects for people in the church. Dale Owens is leading that. He would very much love to have other men lead alongside of him. I think the largest committee in our church is the missions committee, and I kind of think it ought to be that way, probably in a Christian and Missionary Alliance church, because this is one of the central things we believe in and stress. David Lloyd leads our missions and outreach committee. That committee will be meeting this evening because we're very close to missions conference next month. You are going to hear about a service project that will be happening during that week, which is Feed My Starving Children. That doesn't refer to my children, who in fact are not starving, but an organization, a ministry that packages meals to send to needy places around the world. And you'll see very soon a sign-up sheet for that, which will happen on a Tuesday evening. You're going to hear about, in October, and especially during our conference, short-term mission opportunities. I'm pretty sure everybody knows about short-term mission trips. This church has had those before. We're going to have one next summer, and possibly two, and you're going to hear more details about those. Operation Christmas Child is something we do every fall in November, and that involves, it's a Samaritan's Purse ministry that packs shoe boxes, very small boxes, and our folk did very well at this last year, probably a number of years, but I only know about it from last year, at bringing donations and have a packing day. And we're actually talking about, beyond that, going up to the packing center and getting signed up to be a part of that emotion and work. We begin every Sunday here at Hope, the first Sunday of the month, with an hour of prayer collectively. I personally enjoy that very much and end up leading it a lot. I would love to have other people volunteer to lead that. It's not painful, actually. And if you're fearful of it, it doesn't mean you have to pray out loud for 1 hour. It just means you have to be prepared to suggest how other people can pray and lead us together. And I honestly think you'd enjoy it. You can talk to me about that. We have a volunteer worship ministry. Actually, except for our office manager, custodian, and pastor, every ministry in this church is done by volunteers. Most churches in the world are like that. Our worship teams are now led by Hans Hettinga. Josh Benjamin has done that until this month. And I'm pretty sure Hans would be thrilled to have more folk volunteer to sing, to do audio and video upstairs, to play instruments. We don't have a complete band, as some churches do. Not every instrument is covered here on every Sunday. You might be thinking, Pastor, I'm not a professional musician. I understand that. I'm not either. And I don't mean this as a slight to our folk who sing and play. We don't actually have professional musicians, just people committed to lead us before worship. And it's like every other profession. You're not born knowing how to do that. And if you're a young adult or a teen and think, I'd like to play, I've started to play in school, I'd love to participate, let Hans know about that. He's going to be back there today with the sign-up sheets. You can come to worship practice and get used to that before you actually have to be part of the Sunday morning group. Children's ministry. We work hard at offering things for our children. Most little kids and nursery babies don't like to sit in the sermon on Sunday, despite the fact that our pastor is charming and good-looking and humble and all those things. And so we offer programming for them. Somebody has to lead that. We do that on a rotating basis because we don't want adults to be absent every Sunday of the year. Those are well staffed right now, and we would be thrilled to have more volunteers. Jill Schoberg will be back at the table and would love to talk to you about that today. If you work in our nursery or children's ministry, you will be submitted to a background check. And if you're wondering, is that because you distrust me? No, it's because we love our children and our families, and we know the kind of world we live in. And you will just be submitted to that and do it joyfully, because this is a way we express love and best practices. If you would like to lead a community life group, you can talk to Josh Benjamin. He organizes this here at Hope. If you'd like to suggest an idea of a group that we don't have and you would like to see us have, even if you don't think you want to lead that group, I would encourage you to talk to him. This is what opportunities. That's enough about that. I want to talk about ministry philosophy and about people philosophy. This is just very important stuff about understanding how we work together as a church. The key philosophy of our ministry, and I'm going to end with that piece, but I want to mention it to start, is preaching the gospel. With all the bad news in our world, there is amazing good news that the sinless Son of God loves sinners and saves them. And he offers that for free. That's called the gospel. That's the center of everything we do. Second part of our ministry, I'll go back to that in a minute. Second part of our ministry philosophy is grace. That is the good news. That God in grace for free offers us what we need and only he can offer. So we believe that no participation in ministry earns us the favor of God. If you're someone who attends Hope regularly and are not involved in offering ministry to anyone, you're not a second-class citizen of God's kingdom. You don't get a demerit for that. If you're leading 8 ministries right now, which we call burnout, and I'm going to speak against that in just a minute, you're not more favored or loved by God, because he's not that kind of God. He loves us already. We don't gain more of his favor and love by what we do. We just understand that those who've received grace should offer grace. Thirdly, service. We understand that ministry is serving other people. We're not a culture that loves the idea of servanthood. But that happens sometimes in the church. If you've been to a military parade recently, or those of you who have military experience, I'm not one of those, you notice that when people get up in their parade dress, there's a lot of decorations on their chest. Maybe I'm pointing to the wrong side of the chest here. But you can tell by stars and stripes and medals if a person has experience and they've done a lot and they're proud of it. In the church, we don't give away medals and trophies, and we don't wear pins. We understand that service is not to be loved and noticed. I actually have a pin. Got a few months ago. You can tell that it's still stapled. They haven't taken it out of the plastic yet. It's from the American Red Cross, and it says, platelet donor. Our church hosts every 2 months a blood drive, and since I work here close by, I walk down the hall and I give blood. So that way they got my phone number and email. And they called me back in the summer and said, Timothy, would you like to give platelets? I'd heard of that, but didn't know what it involved, and so I agreed to do it. They actually called me this Thursday and asked, and I agreed not to do it anymore, because it takes about 3 hours, and I'm at the age where being strapped to a gurney for 3 hours makes me nervous, because I might have to use the facility, you know. But anyway, when I gave the second time, they gave me a pin. And I understand the pin to just be, I'm not sure, a motivation for you to say, to have a conversation start. Hey, what's that pin? Oh, I'm a platelet donor, you know. Well, if you'd like to wear pins, you can have this one. Because I'm not going to wear it. We don't serve the Lord or the body of Christ to be called up front and say, We do this joyfully. We shouldn't be dragged into service. It's God's church, and this happens to be our church. And why would we not joyfully desire to serve? Joy. That's part of our ministry philosophy. Teamwork. We're not a church that's in favor of burnout. We want to share the load. I, as a pastor, keep an eye on this. I don't believe anybody is so gifted in ministry that they need to lead a third or a half of what we do. Maybe somebody's leading and thinks, there's nobody can do this as well as I can. That's probably true at times. But maybe leadership needs to be shared. And we don't think it's a badge of honor. Some people seem to believe this in our society, that I'm so serving God that I'm just down for the count and exhausted. That doesn't seem to honor the Lord. Honor, that's a part of my ministry philosophy. Understand that, like in any organization, there are folk in our church who have served in leadership, who served on our board, who have led ministries, and are at a stage in life where they don't really feel they have the energy to do that anymore. That's what Ecclesiastes 3 is about. There are natural life cycles. And I don't look disparagingly on folk who have served with great dedication and a lot of sacrifice of their time in the past, and today have passed that on to others. I don't have the same level of expectation for every member of our church. Growth is an obvious part of our ministry philosophy. You might say, you know, I'm too nervous or shy to minister. I don't want to be up front. Understand that. I was that way for much of my life. I got physically ill when I had preaching class in college and had to stand, not in front of a church, but in front of 20 classmates, most of them my friends, and just talk out loud for 20 minutes. I thought, this is confusing. God wants me to go into ministry. I'm pretty sure about it. I just can't stand in front of people. Something has to change. Well, the call of God didn't change. I got used to doing this. And you can change. Your nervousness can go away. But the truth is, very rarely participation in church involves standing up front and talking. Have you noticed that? When you come to church at 10:30 or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, you may not be aware that somebody was here at 7:30 because the church needs to be unlocked and the lights turned on and the airco turned on or the heat and the sound and video things turned on and booted up and a lot of details cared for. You don't see that person doing that. And they don't have to stand up here and talk out loud. Did you know that? There's no nerves involved. You could learn to do that. When we have communion, people come early to church to prepare that. We have amazing coffee equipment at our church. Did you know it doesn't make coffee on its own? Someone has to turn it on. Someone comes 2 hours before church and makes coffee. And so when you walk in the door, you think, look at that, our church has hot coffee. Our grass gets mowed. We have mowers, and they don't mow the grass on their own. People do that. Our snow doesn't get shoveled on its own, nor the flower beds get weeded on their own. Volunteers come and do that. People put up decorations, change our bulletin boards. We have folk in our church who don't have a car or aren't able to drive, and people give them rides every week. That's not an officially organized ministry of Hope Church, but people do that to meet needs. Our offerings are counted every week. Dale lines up volunteers to do that in teams of two. We have something called Meal Train, where people who are ill and not able to get out or have other needs receive meals from the church. The ladies sometimes have a cooking day and put those meals up in the freezer. Sometimes they're taken fresh from homes to other homes. You can talk to Marge Lane if you'd like to be involved in that. We have a lot of tech equipment at our church, and it breaks down frequently. Jeff Hardy spends a lot of time here. I know that. Probably you don't. Maintaining that and keeping it up to speed. We have greeters every week who don't have to go through a 40-hour training course, just need to be able to smile at people at the door and shake their hand. You could do that. Did you know that? I actually believe a deaf mute could do that. You don't have to have a college education. Just love people and say, welcome to Hope Church. You could talk to Mike Schoberg and help with ushering on Sunday morning. We need someone who can do web design and update our website. We have a very lovely website. It's been recently redone, but needs to be updated occasionally. And that's outside of my skill set. And I'd love to have someone be able to offer their time to occasionally do that for us. Does it sound like a sales pitch or cheerleading? It just seems to me, I don't understand this idea, why somebody would want to be part of a local church and not have some involvement and contribute to it going forward. So today you're going to have an opportunity to talk to leaders to sign up for ministry opportunities where others are ministering, or for children's ministry or worship, where you could get involved. If you want to talk to me or these leaders, you can call or email Linda here at our office if you want to plug in. I want to honor and thank those who are an elected leadership in this church. We have a very amazing, I think, elder board. Our treasurer and assistant treasurer will handle our finances, our deacons who care for our buildings and grounds and benevolence, the communion, our food shelf. So, let me say this. Beyond thanking and blessing and recruiting and cheerleading and come on, let's get going comments, all of those things I've said are mostly based on inward-directed ministry. We're a church that numbers about 120 folk who consider this their church home. And we do things to minister to one another and for one another. And I understand that that's vital. And it's a very limited part of what the church is and what we should exist for. The most obvious thing we exist for, and that's why it's first on our ministry philosophy, is to preach the gospel, the good news. We do that here at Hope, but here's something you've noticed. Most people who need to hear the gospel don't come to our church. And most people who need the gospel don't go to any church. We're surrounded by a lot of good churches in the South Metro, as you're aware. So a large responsibility of we who believe in Jesus Christ is to live out the gospel day to day. In your home, in your extended family, where there may be unbelievers. In your work, where for sure there's unbelievers. In your school, in your neighborhood, at the YMCA, at the Rotary Club, the Bridge Club, at Bingo, at the Bowling League. How do you live out the gospel? It's not, I'm going to say, because this is how I was trained in the 1960s and 70s, you need to hand out tracts. I am not against handing out religious pamphlets. And I know I've heard testimonies of people who came to faith that way. But I just think there's way more than that, and it involves relationship. Befriending people who evidently don't know the gospel. And a relationship is the way to bring them in. This is why I keep my eye open for burnout. If in our church there's a few that are perhaps doing too much, not because you might collapse and fall into a heap, which could and does happen, but because when you do that, you eliminate in your life the opportunity to impact the world around you. And that is irreplaceable. Please don't take offense at what I'm about to say. But the things you do to minister in our church are replaceable. Isn't that obvious enough? This church was led and was vibrant and grew before you were here. It's true of my own self, what I'm saying. Many pastors have stood in this pulpit before. If the Lord doesn't return, some will again in the future one day. I'm not an irreplaceable part of this ministry. Someone can be found to do what you do here. And if no one volunteers, we'll cancel it. But what you do for God's kingdom outside of these walls, that is not replaceable. Because if someone needs to live the kingdom of God in your family, you might be the only one. I might not find another kingdom person who lives next door to your neighbors. or who can share the light of Jesus in your office or classroom. You likely are the only one. And if your church falls into the temptation to offer so much programming that it fills every free hour of your week and every night and your Saturdays, you might feel more religious or like you're pleasing God more and totally destroy your capacity to reach out and live the gospel. So when we talk about ministry on our church board, we talk about these two things: how to offer something for everyone and do it as well as we can possibly do it, and restrict it so that we're not filling the time of our members and making them feel guilty that they need to be at church more. So this is my philosophy of church ministry. If every ministry that's focused on us would one day just suddenly grind to a halt, if I showed up here on Sunday and I stood to preach and nothing else happened, there was no greeters, no ushers, no worship, no children workers or teachers or nursery workers, and everyone said to me, because I would ask people, hey, weren't you scheduled? What happened? If everyone said to me, you know what, Pastor? God has just so blessed me this week with so much opportunity to reach out to people around me, and I've spent so much time having unbelievers and neighbors and family and in my home, and folk have come to Christ, and I'm just so busy discipling them that I'm exhausted. I would be thrilled beyond description. How could I not be? Now, I've been in church my whole life, and I want to say this. I've never seen that happen. Let's try it. I would encourage you. But here's my belief. We can balance that. We can do both well if we're all involved in some way and not overburdening a few who carry everything or carry way too much. Burnout, by the way, is not limited to church. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Plenty of people who don't believe in God and don't go to church are burnt out. And plenty of people who do believe in God and go to church are burnt out and do nothing in their church. They're burnt out from overwork in other areas of their life. I'm just saying we can have space in our lives to hear the Word of God, to be involved in ministry here, and to put it into practice, to live as salt and light in the world. But that's up to you. Discipleship opportunities here at our church do not help you grow if you choose not to participate. And leaving time for outreach does not impact people around you if you choose not to reach out to them. Okay, I'm not trying to say that critically, just stating what should be extremely obvious. So that's ministry philosophy. And since it's only people who do ministry, we have a lot of technological equipment. None of it ministers to people. It just helps us out. Let me talk briefly as I close about people philosophy. Every member of the Hope family is a unique individual created by God and loved by God. If I would ask you this question, how do we most show love to other people? This is how I would answer that question. Discipleship. We most honor the God who gave us this pattern of Christian growth, discipleship. And we most love people by offering them a chance to grow in discipleship, by helping them to maturity, which is ongoing as long as we live. If we smile at people at the door and hug them and offer them free food and coffee and say, hey, you don't have to tithe here, that's just for really committed people. You don't have to come to church. We don't want to bug you with that. You don't really have to. We just love you. You know, a lot of people would be really attracted to that. And it's not the gospel. This is how we love people, by offering to help them grow. Second thing I believe about people are not problems to be fixed. It just makes me sad that sometimes in church we give folk that impression. I know about problems. Our world has a lot of problems, doesn't it? A lot. Our state has a lot of problems. Our community has a lot of problems. Our church has problems, does it not? Why would you ignore that? Why deny it? You have problems. That is very different than saying, I'm a problem. And I've sadly heard people say that to me in my life of ministry. Pastor, you just think I'm a problem, don't you? No, I never think that about a person created in the image of God. People are not problems to be fixed. They're worshipers who need to be taught to worship and to be discipled into the image of Christ. People are not resources to be used. It's very easy when your church offers ministry to look at people as manpower. Hey, there's somebody we could get involved in our team. Look, if we're going to have ministry, is that somebody ringing a bell telling me I'm finished? I said I was terminating here, folks. If we just look at people as someone to be used to make our ministry grow, that selfishness is hard to hide. And I just want to say, as your pastor, I do not look at you as potential manpower. And fourthly, I want to say about people philosophy, I do not look at people as a source of donations to be tapped into. These are in order of decreasing severity and horribleness. I just think this is so inexcusable when people come into a house of worship and feel like people love me because I can donate. What could be worse in a place of worship than that? If we give deference to the rich or are condescending to the poor or indifferent to them, what does that communicate about our perception of God? Now, I'm not worried about that, about class things here, because this is a middle-class church. We don't hang that sign on our door. We don't close the door to the poor or the rich, but they're not here. If you think you're rich, I disagree with you. I've seen wealth, and it's not inside these four walls. If you think you're destitutely poor, I beg to differ with you. I've seen poverty very close up, and that does not describe anyone here. We're pretty much middle of the road. But when we view each other as a way to fund our ministries, that's just very belittling to people and to the cross. So that's my people philosophy. People exist to be loved, not to be used, not to be fixed, not to source the things that we want to do, but to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here today and saying, Pastor, I hear these two things. People need to get involved in the ministries we offer. People need to get involved in ministering and offering things. There might be, I admit this, there might be a small number of people here who say to me authentically, you know what, Pastor Tim? I'm not seeing myself in either of those. I have limitations. It might be your health or mobility or age or diminished energy or some kind of illness. And you might say to me sincerely, for me to come Sunday morning and be ministered to is just about the limit. That is what I can do today. I've followed Christ hard after him. I've been committed to my church in the past. I don't get out in the evenings. The time has passed, honestly, where I will be actively ministering. I do confess that in any church there might be a few of those. And please do not understand me to be critical of you today. But I do want to say this to you. I don't believe that any phase of life is a release from the joy of discipleship. So, you are able to pray, to live in the Word and be blessed by it, to be a friend, to be a witness, to minister in hospitality and bless other people, to be faithful to your church, to minister in generosity. No limitation denies those things. Amen? Those things I just described are not for a select few who can't do anything else. Those are the joy of everyone, to be faithful to church, to pray, to be generous. All of us ought to embrace those things. So, if you have just heard the word of God and feel good about it and go home, Jesus says, that might be a beautiful house. But maybe when the storms come, you'll find it's built on the sand. How do you build it on the rock? You hear the word and put it into practice. Okay? Should we put it into practice? As we pray, I'm going to ask those ministry leaders that were up here to go to the back and be at the table, and I'm going to ask you to take advantage of their presence and sign up. We're not going to close in song, just have a brief benediction. And I want to make two announcements. You have an insert in your bulletin called the Psalm Series. So I'm asking you, what psalm would you like to hear as a message in church? How many psalms are in our book of Psalms? 150, so you're not going to be surprised that your pastor is not going to do 150 sermons from this book. And I'd like to know which ones you would like to hear, and I want you to tell me why, and I want you to tell me your name, okay? No anonymous submissions. And on the back of that sheet is written nothing. So if you'd like to say, you know what, Pastor, here's a sermon series I would love to hear at our church, I'd like to hear from you. I am not promising that in the next year or two I will honor every request, but I'm very curious to know what you think about. So that can be handed to me, or you can put it in the offering slot. And next Sunday, all church picnic. We are going to grill out. You don't need to bring brats and buns and drinks. Those things will be provided. If you'd please bring a salad or dessert or other dish to be served, and we will have games and a bonfire up there. I know you've already seen the forecast, 75 and sunny, you know how that is. And we're going to have s'mores and just a wonderful time of fellowship as we kick off the fall, okay? Let's stand together and praise the God who invented for our good church and helps us make it what it is. Father, I'm full of gratitude. You know this, and I insist on saying it publicly here. You know how my heart thrills to be a part of this church. Just amazed that you have called together to be salt and light in this, on this intersection of Cedar Avenue and Apple Valley, to reach out to our neighborhoods and communities, to the South Metro, and to bless mission effort around the world. This dear group of people. Thank you for what this church is, and forgive us if we're ever satisfied at what it is and not pushing on to be more of what you desire. And first of all, that is discipleship, following our Lord Jesus together. So bless in a strong way by the power of your Spirit the restart of our ministries this fall. I bless in your name each one who is given of their time to lead, and ask that you would help us take advantage of these opportunities for our growth and edification and maturity, and help us, Lord, to invest our time to reach out to the world around us and live the gospel that is preached from pulpits on Sundays. But it can be preached from the pulpit of our lives every day of the week. Bless us to that end this week. In the name of the one who came and gave himself for us. Amen. If you really need a platelet donor pin, seriously, it's right here. Go in peace.